He's so tired.
Oh, he hasn't slept.
Shane, is that rumor true?
It is. Yeah. I think that in my household that, and well, I'll say it like this: in many other households, Labor Day, the day before Labor Day or the day before Memorial Day, like, you know, Labor Day weekend, it's a time to go and have revelry.
Revelry, yes.
But apparently in my house, it's Columbus Day weekend, which I know Kevin had to go to work today on Columbus Day. You didn't.
Well, that was of my own doing. I found somebody gullible enough to accept my lunch shift.
I think I heard on the radio today that 17% of businesses are actually closed on Columbus Day. Well, guess what? I didn't float down the river in a tube, but I drank four different kinds of wine.
Did you buy a mattress or go to a white sale of some sort?
I slept on a mattress, or tried to.
Well, that's close enough.
So what happened? Did you guys get all fired up about Columbus Day and you're like, break out the wine like the Columbuses?
No, Skylar, who is my wife, her...
I don't know. That's how they talk.
Did they spread blankets full of smallpox and bottles full of wine and just decimated the indigenous population?
Yes, exactly.
Through those means. No, there was something going on in the country, and my wife was out there with her mom, and apparently every year this happens, and I forget about it. I drove out there and drank five different kinds. And also, for some reason, I thought it would be incredibly sweet to purchase a bag of saltwater taffy on my way there. Who fucking buys a big-ass bag of saltwater taffy? Like, here's my gift.
This guy over here.
Yes, right.
Well, the good thing about saltwater taffy is if you leave it out in the sun and it melts, it looks exactly the same. So, except it's squishier, and then, you know, it's fun for the kids.
I found a piece of saltwater taffy in my pocket, in my pants pocket today.
At least that's what I think it was.
All right, enough.
Sorry.
Right. This is
some weird jokes. I don't even want to go down that road, man.
Weird jokes from the candy lobby.
I want to know why you have four decks of cards just randomly sprinkled about here in the...
I have a gambler's mentality in my garage, Shane.
You just need to be prepared?
I just need to be prepared. And, you know, you never know when the Joker is really going to be wild.
Thanks for putting the gambler in my... Let's get onto the show.
to fold them.
This is Somebody Likes It. It's Ryan, Shane, and Kevin.
All right. Here's the theme music.
Somebody Likes It. That was originally going to be the theme song. Do you guys remember that?
I do. And all I can think of when you tell us about that or when we were talking about it was that it was going to be like a couple of instruments and you and your buddy Derek. And then I just imagine like lots of pots and pans banging together.
It's kind of the way I saw it, too. It was not well thought out. And the reason that it didn't happen is because I'm so fucking lazy and this fits the bill.
Well, and you already, and frankly... You know, if you want to look at it an alternate way, you already had written a song that works perfectly fine.
That's true. The theme music is mine. All right. So we are in Austin, Texas, and the last two weekends have been dominated by ACL Festival, Austin City Limits Festival, attracting about 75,000 people a weekend, over a three-day weekend. There's a lineup of bands. Obviously, it's a music festival, and then they do it again with the same bands the following weekend. And I didn't go.
I did not go.
I get to go a little bit. I had a wristband for the first weekend, and didn't go for all of it. I mean, if you take these in, and depending upon your like, I love to see live music. I love to see really great bands, but I'm so averse to like.
Giant crowds.
Like after a while, I mean, this is where maybe the old guy in me comes out. It's like after a while, like I strategically planned it. I did Friday the first weekend. and got to see some great shit, and it wasn't super crowded, and we could go.
They obviously made
Lake,
a big
Lake Street Dive. I thought was really great. Lake Street Dive. I saw temples. I really enjoyed them. Like they're like, and with both of those, like you could pretty much get right up on the, like not on the stage, but you could pretty much get
they
right.
Discourage
up
Discourage you from getting on the stage.
That's right.
Spectator.
Well, yeah. So they're like, welcome, come on up here.
I saw temples during South by Southwest, and they were amazing.
Yeah,
I thought amazing hair cool. too. By the way, very large.
Yes, a little bit of a mushroom cloud situation going on. But anyway, yeah, just a couple of bands that
Bob
I
deal. Like,
you know, little, not too far from that, actually, Ryan. Yeah, you kind of pegged it.
Yeah, one of them I think is a center for the Portland Trailblazers. But still, anyway, but what
basketball jokes?
Yes, exactly. Well, it's getting ready to be that season. But anyway, what I found was I turned around like after. Whatever the show was right after Lake Street Dive. So, like, middle of the afternoon, and it had gone, the park had gone from being about, I don't know, about half full to about 80% full. Mm. And it was like, I don't know where all these people came from. And so it was like, okay, when you just, well, I know, that's true. But I mean, when you look up toward the stage, in the early days of ACL, this is how smart we were. In the early days of ACL, we used to go out and there, what they do if you are not an Austiner, if you've never been, is that, you know, Zilker Park.
Is it Austiner?
Say what?
Is it Austiner? He said if you're not an Austiner.
If you're not in Austin or if you've never been.
Oh, I thought you said if you're not an Austiner.
Yeah. More wine?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. I know, it's a tough room. But anyway, so what we would do, like, so the way that the park sets up is that they set up, I don't know what it is, 5, 6, 8 stages, and they're all sort of like.
Three.
It's well more than that, but they're
There's three main stages, and then there's like two other small. There's
in
a
terms
stage,
yeah. In terms of the main stages where things are going on, they won't play on top of each other. So if you strategically place yourself, and all the stages are still in the same place, it just gets so crowded that it's really hard to do this anymore. In the old days, you could build camp like right on a hill between two of the main stages, and just flip your camp around and watch shit all day long. And that's what we used to do when we would go in there and we would spend all day long and talk. About
just
how
rotate
well like you make up crazy stuff like we'd talk about like how we were gonna bury beer out there next year so we didn't have to pay big beer prices and then
that's fucking genius.
It's a terrible idea reasons.
I love how you when you were talking about in the old days and then you were using your hand to just gesticulate.
That's true.
But it looked as though you were an old person feebly handling a cane, like in the old days.
Yes. In a minute, I'm going to break for a Werther's original.
Hard candy, son.
Yes, exactly. Somebody find my teeth. Anyway, but yeah, we would flip our camp around and then we would talk about how we were going to bury beer. And we did it was the same bits every year. Of course, now you can't do that because it gets so crowded so early and it's a big deal. And the bands I saw were really cool. I didn't stick around for Beck, although, Ryan, you should tell your second head Beck story at some point.
I can do that.
Yeah. Second head. Haven't I told a Beck story on this show?
I don't
before?
Know if you have.
Well, I worked with – well, have to now. I worked with a guy who had harbored Beck in his early pre-fame days during South By. And
harbored meaning
He stayed at
stayed
their place.
Place.
He was a criminal. He was in town.
He was in town. Nobody knew who he was, and they just got it in their head that it'd be really funny to just keep calling him Buck. And he was like,
"That is incredibly funny."
Yeah,
and he kept correcting him, like, "No, my name is Beck." And they're like, "What's that, Buck?"
I'm never, ever, ever going to be able to let go of that. How can you guys even talk about Beck with a straight face?
Oh, it's great.
When you knew that.
Well, and the best thing was, you know, like right when he first. Broke right when Beck broke. There was or Buck.
Broke Beck. God damn it, Ryan!
Anyway,
stop coming up with my material at the same time.
But when he when he first hit the big time, he was such a dick. Like, that guy was just, every time that he was in print or whatever, he just came across like a total princess. And all Ryan and I used to talk about, like, back in those days, I don't know if you remember, was just that Buck story. Because we were like everybody's been given the finger at one point or another. Doesn't matter how big a shit you are.
The Flaming Lips, what did they say? Like,
oh, yeah, they went on a tour with him.
Yeah,
he was just
a
prick.
Well, no, Wayne Coyne, we'll get to this at some point, because at some point we're going to talk about a Flaming Lips record. But Wayne Coyne, and this is in the early aughts, they went on tour with him, and Wayne Coyne had said in a Rolling Stone interview that he basically would take a limo to the show and then get out a couple blocks away and get in like a shitty Toyota and drive the Toyota up to the show or Honda or what. It's some, you know what I'm saying.
For appearances?
For appearances, yeah. Like that was his whole thing.
Because he's of the people.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
But wait, what's the point? Did Beck not do that?
Or no, was he Wayne did, Coyne whether or Beck he, would whether he did it or not.
Beck
it,
did that.
It, oh, okay.
Yeah,
well, okay.
Beck.
Well, that
no,
makes
no,
sense.
No, not Wayne Coyne. No, there's other crazy Wayne Coyne stories that we'll talk about, but Wayne Coyne was telling this
I got
about
lost
Beck.
In translation. That makes sense.
Yes. Okay. Right. Buck. He was a dick.
He was
a dick. That's what we're left with here. So, anyway, let's get into this week's, the reason that we're sitting in the garage this week, other than our love of each other's mutual company.
Yeah, so one of the things that we had talked about doing for a long time and are kind of circling back to now, you know, many weeks we'll pick a record that none of us knows very well, but for one reason or another, like, it sort of grabs us or we think that it bears exploring, and we've certainly gone through those. And then one of the things that I think maybe that you suggested, Shane, was that we take turns, at least in one cycle of these shows, picking a record, each of us picking a record that we actually really enjoy for one reason or another, and that maybe the other two don't know very well. So, anyway, I picked the only Air Miami record, which, Ryan, I think you said last week that you think that you gave this to me, and I did.
And like, I actually remember that, and you later on were like, hey, man, thanks for that. That's really good.
Yeah.
And like, you started talking about it. I'm like, I don't actually know the record.
Yeah, you're like, I just found it in the street.
No, I had a writer friend. This was when I was living in Fort Wayne, and I had a writer friend who, he basically was the equivalent of Chad here or whatever, you know, wrote for The Daily. And he
Chad, our music writing.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, everybody know Chad.
You guys know Chad.
Everybody knows Chad.
No, Chad is our – Chad. We brought Chad up a few times on the show, and one of these days he'll join us, but he's written for several music publications and is kind of a man about town in the music scene.
It's true.
Anyway.
But, you know, sort of his analog in Fort Wayne recommended this record to me, and I was going to buy it for myself at some point, but, you know, Christmas was coming up or whatever, and I just – like, you and I had been – in the habit of buying each other music, so I got it for you.
We should do that again.
I'm down.
Okay.
In any case, it seemed to take root with you, and you liked it, and I still, to this day, didn't know it until a few days ago.
Okay.
I have to say that I had never heard one note off this record, which is crazy because I distinctly we'll get into it's right it's, up my alley.
It's something that I would think that you would know.
Right, and also I thought it was something else. I thought it was this thing that Dan the Automator was in, but I don't even remember what that was. I think I was drinking last time we had this discussion.
You're not Handsome Boy Modeling School?
No, I don't know. Yeah, maybe it was because you and I were talking about that. But
there's no Crevassier going down with this
record. No, there's not.
Yeah.
But I distinctly remember, and so a few days ago when I was I pulled, and this is the one that I was thinking it was, because this is the only proper release, but there were a few compilations, and there's like a 16 songs, 14 songs, which I think is a nod to Donald Barthelme.
And they put out an EP before this record came out called Fuck You Tiger that's just got four songs on it, but.
Right, yeah. So I had never heard, but I distinctly remember seeing good critical reviews when it came out, but what made me remember the album was the hot chick on the cover. Like, I completely, mm-hmm. I was like, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember this record. I never listened to it, but that girl was pretty.
Well, the interesting thing is, and I didn't really, I guess I kind of remembered this, but I'd totally forgotten it and reconnected the dots when I started reading up on it a little bit. And that was, with regard to the girl on the cover, it has, the album itself has a very 4AD aesthetic. And part of the reason is that it was distributed certainly in the, on the European side by 4AD. And Mark Robinson, of you know, who's sort of the brainchild behind this band, like was a big 4AD fan. And so anyway, there's a lot of that that sort of, it kind of, you know, it all sort of adds up when you look at the overall.
I thought one of the things, the first thing I wrote about this in my notebook to myself was charming simplicity. I really feel like that is sort of encapsulated. And you can see a lot. It's definitely
sure,
of
that's fair.
1995. I mean, it came out in 95, and it sound. There are a couple of songs, though, on there. The first album, I Hate Milk, which, by the way, there's a few of the songs have a little too cutesy titles for my taste.
Yeah, they're not quite cool enough?
They try to be a little too cool. It's really mid-90s irony. Yeah.
Well, I think of this record as this, like, if you looked up indie pop in, you know, the music dictionary, you could just throw this on and...
Well, yeah. I mean, I agree with that completely. But I just want to read a couple of the song titles real quick. I Hate Milk, World Cup Fever, Sweet as a Candy Bar, You Sweet Little Heartbreaker. It's just almost to the point of extreme. If you guys can remember back what it was like 20 fucking years ago, wearing irony on your sleeve.
Well, let's go a step further, because really, like, the point has been made that really, Air Miami is essentially half or two thirds of Unrest with a different drummer and with a fourth session player who is on some of the tracks but doesn't get credited on the record.
Yeah, I definitely remember the first time I heard Unrest. It was not the band that I expected to hear with the.
No, like, wasn't there like a hardcore band called that or something similar? Unsane, maybe.
Unsane.
Yeah, and then like when I heard Unrest, I'm like, this is not at all.
This is not nearly as traumatic as I. Anyway, but yeah, I think that this was sort of an extension, but I guess based on what you were just saying, Shane, the thing that occurred to me is like what it really is. I mean, they're a DC band. This is a Washington DC band that put out a record. I think it's a concept record. It's a concept record that's supposed to sound like a Miami indie band would sound. Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing that I thought too. Like, I get that. I mean, obviously, when you see like World Cup Fever or listen to that song. Yeah, I mean, okay, I didn't think of it as being a concept band, but I definitely thought the music was light and breezy, and it made sense in the milieu of Miami.
I could listen to this on my oversized cigarette boat. I'm off the shores of Miami in my pastel T-shirt and my jacket with my stubble.
But we just need it.
Unironically.
It's brilliant. It should be a cigar boat if you have one in Miami.
Yeah, you would think so, right?
Well, yeah, that close to Cuba.
Yeah. So. I think. Well, I thought one of the things that I first noticed, I mean, there's some trifles. You know what? Why don't we listen to a song, Kevin?
Yeah, let's do. We brought it up, but let's talk. Let's give a listen to World Cup Fever. This was the one that the record sort of hung its hat on, or at the very least, I guess they put it out as a single. So we'll start with World Cup Fever. Here it is.
Bye, babe.
So that was World Cup fever. One of the things that occurred to me, you know, especially in light of the fact that this record came out in 1995, is that you could kind of look at them putting whatever you think of the song construction, you can kind of look at it one of two ways. Well, maybe one of three ways. Maybe one, it's a joke. Like, it just is part of the Miami, like, it's a pinata to bat around like the rest of it, like, just to soak it up. The other thing is, Miami doesn't really think of itself as part of the United States. If you spend any time in Miami at all, like, you'll sometimes hear, like, I have a friend that just moved back to Nashville from Miami, and he talks about his time living abroad. Like, that's sort of how they view themselves. But the third thing is that, and I don't necessarily believe that this is true in the same way that it was necessarily true of, like, when we did Straight Outta Compton, we talked about what great marketers those guys were, but nobody was talking about the World Cup in the U.S. in 1995.
No.
So it would have had to have been like...
Well, they had... The World Cup actually was in, I think, L.A. in 94, which is the first time
could
I
be.
Ever heard
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, it could
no,
be.
No, it was
yeah.
definitely held
I,
in the
well,
U.S.
Well, in the 90s, I knew it was at one point, but yeah,
well,
that sounds about right.
I think that once you read the lyrics to the song, then you really see that there's no way they're taking this shit seriously. And I'll read them to you.
Are they about fever, mostly? Running a temperature?
There is they are definitely there's some discussion
okay.
of running a temperature.
That's good.
Well, there seems to be I'm just seeing it, focusing in on two words, looking at the over Shane's shoulder here. There seems to be something alluding to bum smacking.
Yes.
Oh.
So the lyrics are 3-4-5-0, fight it, fight me up, fight now, throwback, who's talking, smack bottom, go. Hey, 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 I've got it, World Cup fever. She's got it, World Cup fever. I've got it,
World Cup fever.
He's got it. I'll
World
let you guys
Cup
fill
fever.
That in.
Yes.
Okay, and so 5-8-4-9, the games are there, evening here, stop with the feedback, go to grab a free beer. And who's getting a free beer at a sporting event, by the way?
Well, can we just say one other thing? If it's 5-8 or 4-9, 9-9-9-1-2, clearly not soccer. So
right.
Yeah.
I don't really.
Yeah, that may not be somebody who's super well acquainted with the game.
Right. An aficionado.
Although, was it Brazil or something?
Germany over Brazil, wasn't it?
What
like,
was it this year?
I'm pretty sure it was approximately 1,000 to
yeah.
4.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those.
I think Germany scored 1,000 goals.
Well, it'd be the equivalent of like in American
points?
Football.
I don't know how you
yeah.
say it.
Oh, you're killing me.
Yeah, so yeah. It's something just nil in there somewhere. No, it'd be the equivalent of like in a football game, in an American football game, you know, being like 120-6.
Well, then that was one of those deals too where, and this is just we won't diverge.
Please,
for
can
too
we
long,
not?
But let me just say, this was one of those deals where like, that was when all the sign of the times was like all the Tumblr sites of like sad Brazilians popped up, which was really great for about 48
Man,
hours.
Man, that's a waxing job I do not want to see.
That's sad Brazilian.
Sad Brazilian.
That's what I'm going to call my punk band. All right. So anyway, but that yeah, World Cup fever. You didn't love it, and we talked about the lyrical content being silly, but I mean like. You just weren't drawn to that song. So
No. I think the music is good, and it starts out really. I definitely of all the songs because I was saying earlier, this album definitely is in. It's 1995.
Yeah,
Of its time. Yeah.
Yeah, but this song is one of the ones on the record that sort of musically branches outside. I could see that. I could be driving down some random road and have that song come on the radio. And think that it just come out.
Yeah.
But then those stupid lyrics come in and I change the fucking radio. But
what
no,
you,
I mean...
What would you change it to?
That's a good question.
A bike?
Probably...
Because you could ride a bike.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So anyway, that's Dada Radio.
This is my note on this song. World Cup fever. Gimmicky and annoying. So...
Yeah, and I do think that, you know, for whatever reason, this is the one that they sort of handed off to the DJs and said, go remix this and play with it. And they put out a separate EP of just remixes of that song in particular.
Which is insane to me. There's so many better songs on the record. It's not even that catchy. I mean, there's not even...
Yeah, there are better songs on the record, for sure.
Well, clearly. I agree.
And I'm not a soccer fan, so that didn't help either.
Well, but, I just thought it was a logical place to start, given the fact that
was... Well, no, it got more attention.
The one that got more attention. But I do think that you guys both touch on something that I found to be... like. And I'm an acclaimed fan of this record, but like...
I thought you were just going to say you were acclaimed. And I'm an acclaimed human being, by the way, so you should listen to what I'm fucking talking about.
He is acclaimed in some circles. Yes. You know?
And claimed in others. But yeah. Still, no, I think, you know, I'm an unabashed fan of this record, and I do agree with you guys that there are better songs than this one on this album. And one of the things that strikes me, and I don't listen to it all the time, but I get into jags with this record where I'll start listening to it, and then I listen to it a lot for a while. And and I think part of the reason that it holds up for me is that there is a nice little – there's a balance. Like, it does – well, like they do, some of these songs do things that are unique to themselves.
What they do pretty well, you don't see a whole lot, is a mix of, like, digital and analog presentation and their, you know, whatever instrument they're focusing on. And you just don't see a lot of that integrated with a lot of bands.
Well, and one thing that I want to put to you guys that I have noticed that really attracts me to this record, but one thing that I think is kind of pervasive in it is there are...
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Shane just poured some blueberry soda in his wine.
You want to give him some jerky to go with that?
Well, I do have the Slim Jim.
I don't want to eat your Slim Jim. I just wanted to see what it tasted like.
Anyway, all right. So, but
anyhow, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to throw you off there.
Well, and I'm hoping I can get it back.
You really threw him off.
Well, no. Here's the deal, and I feel like this is kind of the central fulcrum of my opinion on this record, which is why I was a little frustrated for a second, but I'm over it. So I feel like thematically, even if it's a concept record, the way that it comes off is lyrically. Or like in terms of the approach to the lyrics, even if some of them are simple, is that those tend to be kind of dark, but the songs tend to be kind of sunny.
True.
Comparatively.
Yeah.
And so I think it's an interesting contrast.
Bouncy, like, jaunty, what have you.
Yeah, but with a little bit of a darker underbelly.
Sure.
It's definitely easy to listen to, and I want to distance easy to listen to from easy listening.
Sure.
Because there are a lot of major seven chords on this, a lot of... there's not a lot of distorted guitars, and in fact,
there's a little bit though. There's a little bit of, like, every now and then you'll hear something that's a little more rough hewn than the rest of the record.
Sure,
intentionally so.
I one of the things that, again, like I was saying earlier, like it's firmly put in 1995. One of the reasons I thought that is that on the song Seabird, in fact, I'd like to listen to that song. We talked about this before. The guitar tone on the song sounds like Velocity Girl,
sure.
Which was a band that came out at almost exactly the same time, very similar sounding band.
Velocity Girl and Imperial Teen would have been like their brethren,
sure. Right?
Well, no. That's a tour.
But I didn't know this until I read all this stuff that a Velocity Girl and these guys are from pretty much the exact same area of the nation. Like Velocity Girl is Northern Maryland, but they were
all that
considered
DC, Maryland,
yeah.
VA,
yeah,
yeah.
Which I didn't know before. But yeah, I mean, they in Velocity Girl for me, Simpatico was a seminal record for me.
Oh, I love that record. I think you turned me on to it.
Probably. We've known each other for a long time. So we should hug right now. But I think what we're going to do
is... Stop touching me.
I'm just going to pat you on the back here,
buddy. No more touching.
All right. So, anyway.
All right. Let's do a little bit of Seabird then.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
All right. This is Seabird.
Thank you.
So one of the things that that I found that I really enjoyed about this record was, and it's hard to find reviews on it because it wasn't a necessarily a major release in any sense of the word, well, but it did get some attention.
What, 95 that it came out?
Yeah.
But there was nothing out there. Like, I dug around.
Yeah, so, but anyway, I found this guy.
Please tell me it's Mark Prindle.
It is.
Yes!
Yeah. Holy shit. Like, whoa, my God. Here, I'll
we
just...
could spend the rest of the show talking about Mark Prindle's reviews of this album.
Holy shit. It's amazing, right? And we will. We'll come back to it. But I'll just tease what we'll talk about later. And then I want to throw it to you guys to talk a little bit more about
the
velocity.
I'm so happy that you did this, Kevin.
Yeah, no, it's true. So he says, and this is actually not with regard specifically to Seabird, but with regard to Air Miami. He says, actually, if a man's memory can be relied upon these days, I swear that the time I saw Air Miami live in 1994, they had four members. I mean, each one of them did, even the woman. Ha, no, but we do get a little dirty here from time to time.
but wait, doesn't he go to talk members? About whores somewhere?
No, like, no, he goes way down the beaten path, and we'll cover a little bit more stuff. And it's a defunct site. He doesn't write anymore, but it's still up there. And anyway, it was really fascinating to stumble on it.
I didn't realize it was defunct. But if you go and look at it, it's got HTML that was clearly made many, many years ago.
Yeah,
it looks like it was around 2004 because he's talking about how. He's ranting in all caps when he's supposed to be talking about the record about how we reelected George Bush.
Yeah, he never covers that particular part. Like, it's just a political anger stamp. Like,
it's just
like,
there. Yeah.
Anyway, but I want to circle back to what you guys were talking about with regard to Velocity Girl because I thought that was interesting. Oh, we should explore it before we get on to the next thing.
Yeah, and you know, we just listened to it again. And the second he turned it on, I'm like, oh yeah, that could totally be on Sympatico. Like, it sounds like a Velocity Girl song.
The second that I heard that song, I immediately went and because I own Sympatico several many, many times on CD. I would like
many severals of times.
I don't understand what I'm saying right now, Ryan. Remember I told you.
You're saying that you've bought it.
Okay, both of you guys.
I'm trying to help you.
It's why are we just devolving
like,
into this?
I'm
right
like
now?
A net, man.
It's not helpful.
Drink his blueberry Pinot Grigio and have his
the blueberry. But Kevin asked me during the break. He's like, "How's the blueberry Pinot Grigio?" And I'm like, "That's how I'm going to drink the rest of this wine tonight with the blueberry soda, just a little dollop of it."
A dollop.
But
there's the ad campaign.
I want to see you order this at a bar.
I would do that because I think it's a bullshit thing when people are like, "Oh, that's a girly drink," or
that's a nobody drink.
No. Okay, yes, that's a nobody drink. But it's I'm saying
it's the kind that when you automatically order it, they call you a cab or your next of kin. Like it's just those are the only options.
No. That's just a man that enjoys the finer things in life. Look, I have taste. Buds and
is that with a comma? Like you have taste buds?
That would be funnier than what I meant.
That's what we.
That's
are.
Why we surround each other with each other.
Anyway,
wait, can we make a T-shirt that says that? That's why we surround each other.
Just as long as you put we can manage the ellipses. Put the pause in there. But anything else you guys want to share on the velocity?
Well, no, I wasn't even started. I hadn't even started.
Shane had some things to say.
Yeah, so the second that I heard this song, are you ready for me to come back?
I'm ready.
Are you?
I'm ready.
Okay. So the second that I heard that, I saw your mic going toward your mouth, Ryan. Are you ready now too?
I was gonna say, are you ready? Yes, I'm ready.
I don't even know what that is. Is that a song you just made up?
It is. It actually is topical.
It's an allusion to where we're going. Sadly.
Okay, well, push pause on that. let's get out of here. I thought when I heard that song, it immediately reminded me of Velocity Girl, and sure as shit, I went online and looked it up, and they not only were in the same same time period, but they were in the same fucking place, like DC. They were both DC area bands, which I always think it's really interesting that bands in a particular scene are influenced by bands in that scene.
Well, DC doesn't. DC has a little bit more of a. They have a heavier reputation.
Hardcore.
Than, hardcore. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Discord so, and. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So it struck me really Minor interesting. Threat. Yeah, that all this stuff is going
Fugazi.
On.
Fugazi.
I'm just gonna. You were just gonna good. Randomly yeah, throw
battle. Throw it down.
Jawbreaker. It's a yeah. from there, right?
Jawbreaker was good. I don't know if they're from there, but they were a good band.
Anyway, so that connection exists. Should we move on? We're close to intermission time.
Yeah, let's take a break. Let's take a break. We yeah. will. We're gonna duck out of here. We're gonna come back, and it's my week to picked a song.
Inflict a song.
Well, not inflict a song. More that I.
It's a very special moment.
It's going to be a very special somebody likes it, or a few minutes with on somebody likes it.
Yes.
Kind of like Blossom.
We'll talk about it when we get there. Okay, right. This is the intermission.
Here we're coming.
So this week, for our little segment we like to call A Few Minutes With, Shane has provided us with a charming little ditty.
A special nugget.
Yeah, he suggested by a young lady named Peaches, Fuck the Pain Away.
Is her name Peaches?
No.
It's Meryl, I think.
Is it Meryl?
Yeah, and she's from Toronto.
Oh.
She is Canadian.
Yeah. Peaches, eh?
But that whole the teaches
take off, Holzer.
Is she wearing a toque? I don't think she is. Actually, after having heard this song,
she didn't wear a whole lot.
This album was, if I'm correct on this, was made in Germany. The Teaches of Peaches.
That sounds about right.
Can I just say that if what they say about Canadians is true, that they're really polite and friendly, this is a level of friendliness.
It might be a little excessive,
more than you would expect from a Mountie.
Well, I just know that if and when I get married, I now know what my song, my first dance is going to be.
What I'm really interested in is that
I randomly
came on this. Let's go back.
Let's maybe rephrase that.
I randomly came upon this website that says the 25 greatest slut wave songs of all time. I was unfamiliar
with
the
genre
term slut wave.
Oh,
and
I guess it is.
So number one, it's a genre apparently. But number two, this is only number seven. How the fuck is this not number one?
What is number one?
I don't know. I just came upon this.
That's really a different
again.
Show.
No, not came on this. Came upon. Oh god, it's so stupid.
Anyway, so for those, we haven't played the song yet, and for those of you who may not know the song, you know, obviously Ryan has teased what the name of the song is. Maybe teased is the wrong word to use here, but still, Shane, if you had to say, like, what's the central thrust is probably sucking
on my titties.
Oh, yeah. So
sucking on my titties like you wanted me.
And you said that's kind of how the whole record goes, right?
Yeah, so it's Electroclash, so you got to think this album came out in like 2001, where we had like a revisiting, at the time, like a relatively popular genre was Electroclash, which sounded exactly like what it sounds like it would sound like. It's like it was a revisiting of German electronic music from the early 70s.
Yeah.
Except this doesn't sound like Kraftwerk.
No, this does not sound like Kraftwerk, but that's thank you to Meryl.
Einsters in Neubauten. Which is just fun to say.
I was going to bring up them a second ago, but I wasn't entirely sure how to pronounce the fucking...
Einsters in Neubauten.
It means
buildings falling down.
I'm so happy that you know that. I'm so happy that you know that. Not only that you know that, but also that's what I was going to – I was like, I want to say this, but I don't know how to pronounce it. So thank you, Ryan.
So what was the blowback?
Here,
again, maybe not the right term to use when this record came out. There's
a delicate dance to do around this song. I mean, when you have a song that basically repeats – ad nauseum, sucking on my titties like you wanted me, calling me all the time like Blondie. That's basically the song.
Well, you know, actually, I'd never heard this song from start to finish until today. I have been at a club that just spliced it up and just repeated, fuck the pain away, fuck the pain away, fuck the pain away. And I was like,
yeah,
make
clubs
it stop.
Do that. Yeah, and it's just like they take the sort of the tackiest part. Like, it's like every song.
Wait, the whole song is the tackiest part.
Well, that's probably true.
Well, no, but it has more song structure than I thought it was going to, and that's it. At least a relief.
Well, yeah. The interesting thing is, if you listen to the entire track, which we have done, the title is the refrain, sort of on the outro,
right.
And so like it's not sort of the main, like even though
thrust the,
yeah,
of the song.
I was gonna say crux this time. Like, it's sort of not what the song. It is what the song is about, but
oh, by the way, both of you guys. Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah, you're the best, man.
Yeah.
Keeping in my prayers.
Thank you.
We haven't even discussed the video.
Yeah. Oh.
So we just watched there is no official video for
right.
this song. But
that can
Peaches,
be a blessing.
Peaches being the magnanimous person that she is, she encourages her fans to make unofficial videos. And so one has done so.
And it's great. It's pretty great.
It was pretty great.
It almost redeems the song.
Yeah, well, and...
Wait, almost redeems the song? The song is amazing. I'm sorry, dude. Like, that is... it's not a song you need to hear every day.
Well, I was going to say, like, you could throw this in on your CD player or, you know, I guess auxiliary jack these days.
If I have a bunch of people at my house and it's late night and you're looking to be amused, this song is
okay, amused,
amuse
but you're not looking...
Everybody
know.
Will dance to it. Everybody will have a good time. Everybody will laugh. It's just not one of those songs that you want to – it's no There's a Light That Never Goes Out. It's not a song that you put on.
That you get like a faraway stare in your eye and just feel deeply.
It's not going on in the quinceañera mix.
Yeah. Although I do want to play it at my funeral as well.
You know what? Let me say this right now. I am when at my funeral, which I hope both of you knuckleheads will attend.
Sure. We'll see how it goes.
This is the song – that absolutely has to be played as the casket closes. Please. Okay, so, right, but, so the video. So
talk about a faraway stare.
Shut up. Talk about, Ryan, talk us through what we just watched.
Well, we saw a splicing of technology, if you will, whereby the Andy Griffith Show was, how shall we say, reappropriated. with a floozy might be the right term.
I'm pretty sure that she would be completely comfortable
with being called a floozy
in the context of that.
She would find that word quaint.
A woman of loose morals has been inserted into an episode of the Andy Griffith Show, and we get to watch Andy and was it Barney?
It was Barney, Gomer Pyle, and Opie. Gomer was in this.
And
one.
So she entertains these gentlemen.
Yeah, and she was actually, and it was actually
with
well
her gyrating her derriere.
Yeah, gyrating of hips and arse.
Yeah, so essentially, it's a montage of cutaway scenes from what looks like a single episode of the Andy Griffith Show, and it's all in black and white, and she's in black and white, and she's been like, as Ryan said, like just dropped into these scenes and
inserted, if you will.
Yes, exactly. And we're five anyway, and the way that sort of Don Knotts overblown reactions and Andy Griffith,
it's like, oh my goodness,
yeah,
I highly recommend
it's really great,
this
like,
version
it's really
of
great.
Look it up, kids.
Yeah.
It's the not surprisingly, if you Google Peaches Fuck the Pain Away video, this is the one that comes up number one several times in a row.
As it should be.
Wait. I'm sorry. You can't come up number one several times in a row. So, sorry about that. Yeah. I just led you guys down a rabbit hole of illogical thinking, and I'm sorry. You can't be number one multiple times.
Send those thank you letters to Shane Bartell, care of Somebody Likes It.
Kevin's Garage, Austin, Texas.
Somebody's whole
Austin, Texas
educational career has been derailed because of this right now.
All right. Well, As much as I hate to steer away from the tractor beam, that is peaches.
What? Just real quick, I just want to reiterate this. Yes. Slut wave? Like, where?
It's apparently a genre. We're looking at Katy Perry, Christina Aguilera,
which is not slutty in any way. It's the
Other than it's girl on girl action, but that's
really. Yeah, but that's like a tee hee Twitter, not Twitter, the shit that you do on your phone. Like titter is what I meant. Sorry,
it could be both.
Yes, come on.
I kind of want to use the social media app Titter.
Yeah. Anyway,
Kevin, get us out of this.
That's another 25-minute segue. But anyway, that was Peaches. That was a few minutes with in the middle of Somebody Likes It. We're gonna play a little bit of the track, and then when we come back out on the other side, we'll be back with a little bit more on Air Miami. Me.
Sucking on my titties like you wanted me, calling me all the time like Blondie. Check out my Chrissy behind, it's fine all of the time, like sex on the beaches. What else is in the teachers of peaches? Huh, what? On my titties like you wanted me, calling me all the time that Bondi. Check out my Chrissy behind, it's fine all over the time. What else is in the teachers of peaches? Like sex on the beaches.
All right, Ryan, joining you.
What happened on the break?
Compromised beverage parade.
Yes, apparently, yes. Ryan and I's new band, the Compromised Beverage Parade.
Yes.
Because I had been dunking a little bit
of Ryan's. It sounds like we were roofiers. Not roofers, but roofiers.
Yeah. Oh, we were compromising other people's beverages.
But no, we're compromising our own.
Yeah. So Ryan has this blueberry soda. We've already talked about this. And I'm having a little bit of wine, and I'm not really feeling it. So in the middle of us talking, I reach over, pour a little dollop of the blueberry.
Like it's ketchup. It's a splash. It's not, dollops
okay, whatever.
Have more substance.
Right, okay.
Or be nice to the
less
tire
viscous.
Guy.
Semantics.
Yes.
Yeah, you idiots. And so during while we're listening to songs, because in the breaks we listen to the songs we're going to be talking about. And we're listening to the songs, and he's like making fun of me, and I give him a drink of my drink, and he's like, "That's pretty good," and immediately pours a splash.
No, it was good. I'm hoping is that this is going to start a revolution, and we've just invented a drink that, like, it's going to take over like spring breaks everywhere. Yes.
This time next year, my garage will be made out of gold.
Yeah,
solid gold.
Blueberry soda and incredibly cheap Pinot Grigio.
Exactly.
With a silent air conditioner that gets us through August.
Well, I'll tell you, why right now the number one selling white wine in North America is Moscato.
And Cold Duck.
No,
not
Kevin.
Cold Duck.
It's not Cold Duck anymore. It's Moscato. And if we were recording this episode in 1976... Yes, you would be correct. It would be Cold Duck.
I know. I'm tweaking your story, but tell us about the Moscato.
We're not tweaking either, but that's an...
I'm tweaking. Did I mention that?
You
did
are?
A bunch of math before I came over?
Yeah. No wonder you took my telephone apart yesterday.
Okay, speaking of telephone,
so
Moscato.
So Moscato is the number one selling white wine in North America because 4 years ago, Drake mentioned it in a rap song, and it... Now it's so popular in certain neighborhoods that the other day I stopped at a convenience store to get gas, and while I was walking through the store it's not a predominantly white populated neighborhood. I mean, I don't. It's
minority just, population.
Yeah. It's. Anyway, so I was going to get a soda, and I just happened to notice these really bright, flashy, colorful wine bottles. And then I bent down and looked at all, and every single one of them was Moscato. So something so that can seem insignificant as us talking blueberry soda and wine, it could take up in the hood.
I've always said that this show is a lot like a Drake song.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe. Yeah. And for whatever it's worth, Ryan, true or false, there are a number of Texas vineyards that grow some of the best Moscato in the world, like cultivate.
Yeah,
some of the best Moscato.
Well, decent Moscato for sure.
At the very least, some well-regarded Moscato that's compared very well.
It grows well in this climate because Moscato grows well in a hot climate, but this is neither.
It's neither here nor there.
Not music related.
Yeah, it is not music related. Well, not until tonight when you guys started combining it with blueberry soda.
Well, because you know why, Kevin? That shit is good. Okay? And Ryan jumped on board that train.
True.
Anyway, let us circle back to...
Wait, can I just say this? When he said anyway, he literally rolled his eyes.
I did, and I don't do that very often, so it was a special moment. The thing is, we don't have a limited amount of time. We have a reasonably limited amount of time, and this was my record, and it won't be another several weeks until we get back to another one. And this was one that I really enjoy, so I want to spend some time talking about it instead of shitty beverage combinations. So
Fair enough. Don't knock
it till you try it, brother.
Right. Yeah, you haven't even tried it yet.
And I am your brother.
Yes.
So anyway. Let's touch again. Let us hearken back to the saga that is the
Kevin's
Mark
becoming Garrison Keillor all of a sudden.
Right, exactly.
Let us harken back to a
remember to
time.
The beginning. Anyway, the word for this is again out of the Prindle Review. The word for this 35-minute 13-song disc is quote beautiful. If I had to sum up the entire listening experience in just one 9-letter word, it would be so unbelievably, infectiously, wonderful, tuneful, I shat myself, exclamation point, and by shat, quote, unquote, I of course mean popular actor and self-parody William Shatner.
That is eloquent right there. Like,
didn't see it going there, did you?
We did
but that expense that explains the hairpiece. Anyway,
wait, what?
the shat hairpiece. Anyway,
so lost right now.
It's he has that hairpiece that could be a small animal.
William Shatner?
Yeah, William Shatner.
Okay,
yeah, he wears a hairpiece.
He does wear a hairpiece, and it changes.
Okay,
so anyway, that's all I'm saying. Anyway, according to this review, and I don't know the entire, I actually feel like I have a pretty good handle on Mark Robinson's catalog. I've got a Flin Flon record. I'm pretty familiar with Unrest. I really adore this record, and I feel like I have an idea what his general aesthetic is when he puts something out. Prindle says that he feels like this represents the pinnacle of his output to date. Now, this review has been out for a long time, and it came out not long after that record came out. But I feel like it's a fun and interesting and varied work that probably, and for whatever reason, doesn't get as much respect as the Unrest.
Well, it seems like it kind of slipped through the cracks a little bit.
I don't know if that's a timing thing or if it was just
they broke
like,
up or what.
Well, but I think it's certainly probably a little bit of that, and then also maybe it's it's sort of right around the grunge era, so it was not.
Well, and it also seems like a sort of similar aesthetic band, Imperial Teen, at least had a couple hits. Maybe they didn't tour enough. Maybe
hits in quotation. I mean, they weren't top.
Well, they weren't
20 hits.
Top 40 hits, but they were new rock format hits or alternative. you have to say it that way these days. Alternative.
Just an exclamation point, yeah, like a musical.
That's the off Broadway musical.
Yeah, apparently. That's the Corky, whatever his name was, from Waiting for Guffman.
I just see like four different people like jumping up in the air in different positions, like holding up, like
celebrating the alternative scene.
Alternative.
Anyway, but no, it would seem that like the music was there and they were, you know, on a decent label that had some, you know, a certain amount of muscle. Like they probably, if they picked something other than what's it called, World Cup Fever, like as a single.
Yeah, I was gonna say two things. Like you hit the nail on the head. One is that the single and their
you the think song, they missed on the single
swing, a huge swing that Casey struck the fuck out.
Yeah.
With that. And but the other thing is that it was sort of like just ahead of the curve. I mean, this album made it easier for the Cardigans and Ivy and and Belle and Sebastian and bands that had a Faye twee,
just a little bit of a twee thing going on,
right? Yeah. Sure, but it made it easier for those. It paved the way for those bands to do arguably better music. I mean, if Air Miami had put out a second full length. I mean, one of the things, like I was saying earlier, that makes it so adorable is it's very charming.
It is quite charming.
It's a charming.
Can I just ask one thing? And I don't want to get too deep and philosophical on you guys, but has anybody ever said the name Belle and Sebastian and not used the word twee immediately, like right after?
Only people who didn't know what that word meant,
which was our aunt and uncle that we educated on that.
That's true.
At our grandmother's after funeral party.
Yeah. So
what I imagine.
Who's having fun?
Yeah.
Oh wait. Tell me the story.
Just oddly enough,
they're very well traveled, worldly folks.
Yeah. Uncle was a newspaper man for his entire life, meaning editor and publisher and what have you. Very educated folks. And we all happened to be together because. Our beloved grandmother had passed away. Shane is adding more blueberry soda to his wine.
Good Lord.
Anyhow, we're all together,
good
and
God,
somehow
man.
It
quite
came
tasty.
Up. Somehow it came up that they'd been hearing this word twee quite a bit, and they didn't know what it meant. Neither my aunt or my uncle. And so Kevin and I are both, we got this.
Yeah.
So.
we'll help you.
Wait, was this in the mid-90s?
Early 2000s.
Yeah.
What was it, 2002? Okay, so
2002, about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we educate, for those who don't know, to us, and I think we said something like, sort of precious.
Or overly precious, which is sort of what it means. Like, yeah. So if you're listening at home or wherever you are.
Well, it was a genre.
It was. Well, it is. It's characterized as a genre now, and I think appropriately so. But really what it was based on is the idea that, you know, that there's this sort of too cutesy thing that's, I mean, maybe it's become too cutesy now, Shane. I don't know, but the very
it's kind of cutesy music. I mean,
yeah,
well,
sure.
Here's the thing: the song that I wanted to hear next has a cutesy title, but is probably the least cutesy song on the record.
No, it's and I
mean,
completely
it's a little more rough hewn.
So let's do it. Let's do you remember what the name is?
Something cutesy.
That's not. You're super.
Does it have
close.
Sweet in the title?
It does have sweet. It's called Your Sweet,
sweet
Little
as a Candy Bar.
It's no. God damn it! It's called.
That's another song on the record.
No, it's.
Oh,
not.
I don't know it. No, there's a song on the record called "Sweet as a Candy Bar," but
yeah, it. No, that's true. And this is the next one
I
called.
I fucking win.
Sort of, except that's not this song.
Except stop talking.
I don't know what you want to listen to. We haven't discussed this.
Yeah, we're gonna.
You
listen
were just
to
like throwing that to him, like.
Well, we have discussed this. You're just delirious with
sleep.
We didn't discuss. Yeah. We didn't discuss what the name of the song was.
What it is sweet
Neely?
Little you sweet little heartbreaker.
You sweet little heartbreaker.
And that's what we're gonna spin right now, and then we'll come back out.
We'll be right back.
that was Dolphin Expressway.
No, it was not.
Oh, wait. That was World Cup Fever or no. Seabird.
Or I Hate Milk.
Or Sweet as a Candy. Oh, wait. No. It was You Sweet Little Heartbreaker.
You Sweet Little Heartbreaker.
And actually, so I have to tell you guys a stupid story around this. It's very short. Shane's burying his head in his fist.
No, I'm just tired. I've already told you about how you celebrate the day before Columbus Day.
Yes, well, and next year we will know.
Family, yes.
Yeah, so one of the things that that song reminds me of is that you know, I'm not in the business of making mixtapes anymore, but when I was, like the last batch.
Oh my God, I bet you were the best mixtape. Like, something you would do.
I made what I felt like was the best mixtape, and then I put that song off this record in an otherwise, like, sort of, and maybe a little bit twee, like, mix of some stuff that I knew the girl didn't have, and she was like, and so I waited for feedback, and it came back, and she was like, wow, that's really great, except for that one song. I was like, really? It's a little harsh. And I was like, yeah, but she was like, you have to put it in there for, like, to be...
Well, you
like,
put it in the same context that it is on the record.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like supposed to be a little bit of an outlier, like, wake you up a little bit, like, you know? Fist pump. Anyway, yeah. That did not happen. So, needless to say, but that's Sweet Little Heartbreaker, and that was one that you connected with, Ryan, right?
For sure. Yeah, like, I thought it was a rock-solid song, and a little bit surprising given that, you know, a lot of the rest of it is a little understated and sort of taut, and, you know, there's
muted and beachy.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah. But no, like, you know, like I said earlier, there's a, you know, sort of a even mix of digital and analog, and this one's full on analog. You know, plug in the amp, you know, hit your distortion pedal and go. It's still a pop song, but
yeah, well,
but
right.
They kind of cut loose on it a little bit more than the rest of the record.
And it's one that I thought, I never got a chance to see this band live, but it's one that I thought, had I gotten a chance to see them live, this would have been a fun.
It would have been like a mosh pit for like one song.
Yeah.
And then everybody would have gone back to standing politely.
And then they would have played Seabird, and everybody would go, what the fuck just happened? Like, was that on the same record?
These guys opened the door for so many bands that came after them. Like, I think, like, Seabird. Or not just
Creed.
Metallica. Yeah. Slayer.
Yeah.
But I do think, all kidding around aside, like, Shane's totally right. Like, there are – you see footprints of what other bands went on to do. That were, and certainly, you know, you. I mean, obviously,
so there's
the
like,
connection
like
between
the Velvet Underground of indie pop twee bands.
I don't know. I mean, but I do think that like music. We've talked about this. No, we don't talk about this every week. But music is inherently collaborative, and you do see some bands do wear their influences on their sleeve, and bands can be of their place and time. And I do think that like that's not always a bad thing.
I don't either. But I like what.
Yeah, Shane's face lit up. Like, he's really literally about to fall asleep, and then his face just, like, lit up out of nowhere.
When you were talking about, like, the Velvet Underground of indie rock. Indie pop twee bands. Well, there's a whole – I don't know who quoted it originally, but it was maybe 100 records sold.
But everybody started a band.
Yeah, and good bands.
Yeah, oh, of course.
So
it was more than 100, but it was less than a million.
Thank you, Ryan. That's very helpful.
I just wanted
as far
ball,
as parameters
just wanted
go.
To ballpark it.
It's more than 3, but less than 14 trillion.
For the math-oriented who are listening to this podcast.
None of the math-oriented are doing this podcast right now.
Exactly.
But,
well, anyway, yeah. Now listen to like "Sweet Little Heartbreaker" is a fun track,
and
it is a departure.
Followed by Neely,
which I think we've all come to the conclusion
if it did not contain all the swearing, probably should have been a single,
right? Well, and I think that's kind of what makes that's another thing that makes it charming. Like it's the sonic equivalent of the Mr. Show bit where the ad team comes in and
they present
the great ad ideas, except that they all have F bombs in them.
It's like
burger is fucking great.
I really love the concept, but what's with all the swearing? Anyway,
holy shit, I love that bag box.
It was pretty revolutionary at the time. Anyway,
it is a juxtaposition.
It's a juxtaposition, and I do think that the swearing is a little bit like kind of what gives it that the teeter totter or whatever, the seesaw, the balance between.
You say you want to eat some tater tots?
You really need to
walk toward the light chain. I think that that's a little bit of what makes the sort of darkness of the content and the lightness of the presentation work. And I think that this song is like maybe one of the best exhibits of that and that happens on this record.
Well, let's take a listen to it.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, so that joke just never gets old to you, does it, Kevin?
No, it doesn't.
Ryan's coming out. Who's coming out of the segment? Ryan's coming out. Ryan's coming. Anyhow, that was Neely, which I do consider one of the more superior songs on the record.
Good song.
Solid song. A lot of swearing in a cheeky, fun way.
Yeah. It's the happiest swearing you'll hear all day.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Our friend Shane over here is fading a little bit, so we're going to do him a solid.
And a quick window into these recordings. We record these at night, and Ryan is nocturnal, and Shane, I think, is fairly nocturnal most of the time. But you had a long
but
weekend.
But not during Columbus Day weekend.
Columbus Day weekend, apparently, is that's
when you blow it out in the Bartow Lightfoot.
Man.
Extended family, and
how do you do around
in the middle of nowhere? Like I saw like this huge deer like walking in a lake bed, and
you should write a poem.
Thank you, Ryan. I think I will.
Do you have issues?
We'll talk about it next week. Oh! I totally forgot about that. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Kevin.
I was just going to ask if you had issues with President's Day.
It's the minor holidays where his family gets super fucked up.
Like, the minor holidays are the ones that
Flag Day.
Matter.
That's when none of the amateurs are out. You could just do whatever you want, man.
Blow it out, man.
Yeah. Anyway, what was the OOO?
So I called Ryan the other night. And by the way, I have to say this, and I'm going to comment on it every time we're sitting here and I'm looking at it, is that you removed all of the magnetic poetry from...
I didn't,
except one.
That says lick.
Oh, see, now I've got to go talk to somebody.
No, don't. Like, leave it there. Or find other ones.
Your kid can't read yet. Well, I mean,
but
even if she could, she wouldn't pick up on any sort of
salacious innuendo.
Well, yeah, for another 10 years or something.
But beyond that, I didn't remove any of it, and I didn't realize any of it was gone until now. So we'll figure out what's going on there. But that's funny.
We've had this whole conversation.
She may be trying to send you a message. Actually, by just leaving that one. Like, hey, man, step up your duty.
Yeah.
Anyway,
buy me some ice cream.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll move on from that.
So, next week's show.
Next week is me.
Is it the whole week? Good.
Not the whole thing.
Okay.
No, just
awesome.
the
show.
The record.
It's your turn to pick.
The album. That we will be talking about?
Yes. Okay.
That's me.
Oh, Right. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody likes
Sounds
it.
Sounds good.
And okay.
That somebody is this dude.
That's what we're doing.
What
is? You know what? That's how we should subtitle the show this week. Somebody likes it, and that somebody is this dude.
Yeah.
I do like parentheticals in song titles.
Also, so. I also like Hallucinatory Shane. So we'll do that version sometime soon.
Yeah.
Maybe this one. Anyway, Rye.
Another song from actually 1995. It does not sound like Air Miami.
No. We're not talking about a song. We're talking about a record.
Yeah, well, I apologize.
Oh, okay.
One song of
an
minute.
Album
yeah.
from 1995, Yola Tengo's Electro Pura.
Okay.
Which I enjoy.
95? I think it was 97.
You may be thinking of I Can Hear the Heart Beating as One.
I think that was 98.
Well, I'm telling you.
Okay. All right.
I'm pretty sure it was 95.
Either way, we'll tackle that one next week. And then.
And it's also it's your turn to pick the song.
Yeah.
Week.
So, and I don't. I'll plead the fifth. So
you're gonna
I don't.
Surprise
I don't
us.
Yeah, I'll surprise you with that one. I'm not sure.
Well, don't surprise us night of.
No, I won't. I'll give you.
Well,
you
we always watch the video the night of.
Well, it's true. But
anyway, well, so I will say this: we've gone through some of the original gags. Like, you know, I think the Shatner thing was great. I think the New Radicals thing was kind of interesting because, well, Ryan, have you picked a individual the song?
The Promise.
Well, The Promise, was that last
Oh,
week?
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so Promise. I feel like each one of those, like, kind of has a gag hat to hang on.
Promise.
And I don't necessarily know that I'm going to do that this next time around, but we'll just see. I'll do a little digging. I'll give you guys several days' notice and we'll have some fun with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, however you want to.
Okay.
But rest assured, once it comes back on my shoulders.
You're blowing it out?
I'm blowing it out, yeah.
All right. Well, that's another edition of Somebody Likes It. I'm Kevin.
I'm Ryan.
Shane.
We'll see you guys next week.